Ever want to know all about horses? Then stick around for 30 minutes with natural horseman Jim Swanner. I'm alive and I'm free. Who wouldn't want to be me? Learn more all about horses at jimswanner.com.
Hi folks, Jim Swanner here, host of All About Horses and a big fan of Tractor Supply Company. Can't think of a better sponsor for the show because Tractor Supply is all about horses and everything you need for grooming, health, feed, and care. Even more importantly, at Tractor Supply, you get the know-how of their people. They just don't sell you products, they give you advice and answer questions since many of them own and breed horses themselves. Stop by Tractor Supply at 601 U.S. Highway 72 West in Athens and see for yourself. Tell them Jim Swanner sent you. You'll be glad you did. I always am.
After a long, hard day's work on the farm, do something special for yourself. Treat yourself to some of that good, flavor-filled Witt's Barbecue located in Ardmore and Fayetteville, Tennessee. Witt's Barbecue has been smoking up the South since 1966. You know they have the best barbecue around, but you may want to try some of the other items on their menu, such as ribs, stuffed potatoes, or whole smoked chickens. So if you find yourself in Ardmore or Fayetteville, Tennessee, stop by Witt's for the best barbecue around. Weston and Lori Witt will be glad to serve you.
Now back to more All About Horses.
All right. Welcome this morning to All About Horses. We have a special guest this morning. And you know, I always open up with our special guest, and all of my guests are special. And but my guest this morning is Anna Twinney. Anna, welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
And Anna is, you know, she's known around the world as an equine specialist, a natural horsemanship clinician, and an animal communicator. Anna, just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself before we get into the topics we want to speak about.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. So, Jim, I noticed the other day that you had another fabulous horseman on the show, being Monty Roberts. And, in fact, my career pretty much started there in 1997. I first saw him in the UK. And what happened and what transpired after that, I got invited down to Flaggers Out Farms in California. And my life took a huge, huge change. I took a year's sabbatical from the British police force, of all places, and started to study the horse whispering. I actually stayed at Monty's till 2003, and I set up the school there with Crawford Hall, the head instructor. I left in 2003. It was one of those things where your path sort of changes a bit, and it's your time's up, even if you would consider it to be your baby and want to stay.
Right.
And I left there, and I started to gentle Mustangs for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a local Mustang rescue out there, and I put everything together that I knew and then filled in some of the gaps as well. And so for me, the Mustangs became a huge influence in my life from the moment I stepped onto the turf in California, because I met a horse called Chewy, and also Monty was quite well known for the Mustang gentling, and so we got some horses ready for the Rose Bowl parade. I continued with that thread when I went to the sanctuary. And so I was gentling those horses who would volunteer, those that were a little bit poorly made, and those that either were icons in the industry, such as Spirit, actually. Spirit was one of the horses under my care. And during that period of time, I also began to go on the road. What happened is I realized that a lot of the people couldn't make it out to California. And despite the fact that they had great dreams and wishes, that they couldn't, and that in fact I needed to go to them. And so I expanded my vision, and that included traveling the globe and taking the clinics to different locations. And the clinics very, very quickly expanded from teaching relationship to behavior modification. I also brought in the Mustang gentling, the foal gentling, the colt starting, and so it expanded an awful lot, and I've been on the road since about 2005. Time definitely flies. And the focus of the communication got deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And where you say animal communicator, a number of people believe that to be behaviorist. So they come on the clinics, they raise their hands and go, I know what that means. It means watching the animals, watching the horses. It actually goes a little bit deeper than that.
Right.
It means picking up on telepathic communication, so mm-hmm. your intuition, really honing into that intuition to say, okay, my gut tells me this, or I'm getting a quick vision on this, or how do I communicate to that with the horse mm-hmm. without waiting till that ear's locked on, right? So we yeah. will look for physical manifestations like an ear locked on for attention, or the cocked hind leg either as a sign of flight or as a sign of relaxation, depending on the nuances there. Mm-hmm. But there would be other things that the horses would give you, and that would be that energetic connection, which yeah. you will know as a horseman. You'll know when you look at a horse that the body language gives you one read, but right. you'll also know how you feel. Like, yeah. does the body language look fine, but your gut is churning and telling you something? Does yeah. the body language look okay, but really that horse is frozen underneath and mm-hmm. most eyes can't capture it?
Yeah.
And so I went into depth with the telepathy and really have enjoyed and appreciated going to that level where we can support them physically, mentally, emotionally, and teach truly the depth of the communication. Part of it came from the wild ones, the wild horses, and annually going out and watching them on the range and training them and gentling them. And definitely the other part came with learning the energy healing and really delving deep into the telepathy.
Yeah. Do you find that reading their energy or feeling that, and you said something about the gut, and I'm going to tell you a story in a minute. Yeah. But do you find that some people have a better understanding and can learn to do that more than others, or if someone's having trouble with it, can everybody learn that? Is what I guess my question.
Yeah, everybody certainly can, but you phrase it correctly. Some people are going to have more trouble. So people that don't believe that they can pick up in it, they may have more trouble, but they could have that really awesome validation as well. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be other people, the people that are just in their head and really just motoring forward.
Yeah.
They see this and go, okay, I'm a pretty good horseman here, and if I just keep on going, and they're missing the tries.
Mm-hmm.
If they're missing the tries, they're not breathing in between, you know, they're not, their mind isn't open enough necessarily, or yeah. their eyes can't see. So a lot of this is about learning the body language, but then the other piece would be create the space in your mind, because mm-hmm. if all you've got is the mind chatter, there's no space for intuition to come in unless it's yelling at you.
Right.
And then the other piece too is if they're not truly in it for the love, and that can sound a little odd when you hear it, because I'm certainly not woo-woo in any way,
yeah.
but if they're not in it truly for the good of the horse, mm-hmm. and there's a huge ego involved, and I'll yeah. qualify that, because that word gets thrown around an awful lot. So if they're just motoring forward, they're in it for the publicity, nothing wrong with publicity, and they're not feeling, they're going to find that harder. And I'm going for publicity because we're going out there in the world, and publicity is the way to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally appreciate that we need it, but it's when we're busy. So if we're chatting away in our head or chatting out loud, we may not pick it up.
Right.
If we're coming from a hard place, like we've had hard experiences or somebody's been abused and they've locked off that heart space, so it's mm-hmm. like a little cage around them, or if there's fear involved, they've been hurt and there's fear, all of those kind of vibrations, those emotions, could certainly block it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be in a place where you can receive, is the
yeah.
best way I can explain that.
Yeah. And let me you know, tell you this little story that and you know, people have heard it before, but had this horse at the barn that, you know, it was hard to catch. It was one of my boarder's horses, and they were trying to catch it. And I was kind of watching, and I went out. I said, okay, let me see what I can do here. So I just got in the pasture and started walking around and behind the horse. And every time the horse would turn and look, I'd turn and go the other way. And but, you know, it kept doing that, and so, you know, at the end, well, toward the middle, I'm going to say, it went to the fence and just stood and looked over the fence. And I went to the fence and stood beside it and looked over the fence. And I saw it out of my peripheral vision that it turned and looked at me. I turned and looked at it. And then I just turned and walked away. And the horse turned and followed and said, wait for me. So, but this is where I learned something. Then I went and got the halter. And as soon as, and I was 6 feet away from the horse. And when I put my hand on that halter, I felt the energy of that horse hit me in the gut. And it was 60 feet away. And I thought, wow. So I just turned and looked at the horse and said, I'm sorry. And you know, it was when I put my hand on that halter, I had an agenda. And that horse taught me right there that, okay, it's not about me. And then I went to the horse, and after about 15 minutes of doing the same thing that I did 45 minutes before, the horse looked at me and said, okay, where you want me to put my nose? You understand it now. And that was a moment for me right there.
And you've summed it up beautifully, because that's the energetic connection that takes a moment to appreciate. So when people are learning the language, and let's put the language in body language just for now. For me, it's three pieces. It's energy, it's telepathy, and it's body language. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's more to it, and we'll learn it with time. But when people are learning this to start with, they're learning the body language and the nuances, because without that, you have very little, because you've got to be able to protect yourself, stay safe. You've got to be able to move around the horse, do the spook busting, the riding, the long lining, whatever it might be, catching. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is learning when to advance, when to retreat, you know, when to turn away. And what does that look like? You know, is that the weight distribution to the left leg as you're turning away? Are your eyes down, your eyes up? You know, eyes on eyes can get attention. Eyes on eyes can be pressure.
Yeah.
Eyes on eyes can drive. Eyes on eyes can draw, create a turn. There's so much it can do. So a lot of this is about learning the body language.
Right.
But once you have that down, then you move into this energetic piece, which is exactly what you talked about. Because if all you did was turn away and communicate, although you're acknowledging the horse, it still becomes a little bit one way. Because like you felt.
Yeah.
You know, you said thank you for turning. You drew the horse a bit to you. It becomes a little bit more about you saying, can you spend time with me? Can you come to me?
Right.
Is it possible now? It's a little bit more of a one-way. What makes it two-way is when you acknowledge, for sure.
Right.
But the next step is...
Okay, and Anna, we're up on a break right now. Just hold that thought, and we'll come right back to it. Folks, y'all stay with us.
All About Horses.
Have any building projects you need to get completed? Collins Supply on Highway 72 West in Athens is where you need to begin. You'll find the professional help you need for all your building projects. Whether you're building a fence or a building, Collins Supply can help you with the supplies you need. If it's plumbing supplies, appliances, or insulation, Collins Supply can help you there too. Call Lakin, Dwight, John, or Beth at 256-232-3498. That's Collins Supply, Highway 72 West in Athens.
Spry Funeral Home reminds you that one of the wisest decisions you'll ever make is to pre-plan your funeral. Spry Funeral Home offers pre-planning, complete funeral arrangements, and honors all burial and cash policies. Founded by S.L. Spry in 1919, Spry Funeral Home has always believed that service to you is their first priority. Now in the third generation of Spry's, Greg and Jimmy invite you to call them at 232-2622 or stop by their facilities on Highway 72 to find out more about how you can prearrange your funeral. Spry Funeral Home.
Now back to more All About Horses.
All right, welcome back to All About Horses. We're speaking with Anna Twenty this morning. And Anna, when we went into the break, we were talking about the energy that we feel from horses. And I'm sorry I had to interrupt you. We were on the break. But continue your comments.
I know, and the punchline's this. When you give a voice to the voiceless, you're receiving the information, hearing them, you're acknowledging the try, and it means really respecting them, honoring, listening, and that's the key. And so when you move into that place where you're receptive, that's when you'll feel the emotions. So you could go up to a horse, Jim, and you could be absolutely fine, and you put your hands on that horse, and you feel overwhelmed with an emotion that maybe they've been carrying their past with them. So specifically the Mustangs, if they've been rounded up from the range, and somebody wants to adopt a Mustang and bring them home, maybe they do touch them, and they feel not just the tension in the body, but they feel an overwhelming amount of sorrow. Mm-hmm. Or they suddenly see a vision of horses running. Well, what is that? That's that animal, that horse, conveying a message. And how does that change the training? In every single way it changes the training, because we can have more compassion now. It could be that you get a Mustang in your life and you haven't even touched them for 2 years, because you can't bribe a little Mustang.
Right.
You've got to be able to communicate with them and capture that thought, right? So now we move into building the relationship. Well, there's times that you can gentle them down in a week, and there's times that it takes a full year. And yeah, you could look at yourself and you could video and you could learn the nuances and you can get the guidance. But what if you're picking up the emotional piece to realize, well, they need respite. They need a chance to just believe it or not, go out there and be a horse, or not be cooped up in a 12 by 12 when they're there. And they need to interact with their own kind. And people will give us rundowns on it of, okay, when you're gentling the Mustang, put him in a stool, isolate him. I do in the training. We'll have them in different pens throughout the day, and then in the evenings they all mingle together, and there are herds that they get the safety in numbers, and that they feel that they're not under too much pressure. So we have the rewards of the release and a rest. We have the reward of relaxation of the eyes, and even food, you know, and we have plenty of food there during the training for the horses, and water. We never deprive them of any biological needs, and this would go for any horse. But at night, you need them to be sociable, because I don't want to deprive them where they have no choice but to choose you. Yeah. I want them to have a choice pretty much all the time. Of course, we want to make it easier on ourselves, and not in a 1,000-acre pasture trying to gentle a horse that really doesn't see any value in the interaction. Right. So, yeah, putting them in a smaller area is wise. But we want to look at how long does that take for any horse to come get over the hump of remedial, or get over the hump to be able to trust. It could take 5 minutes. By the mere fact you give them time and they feel that you're a horseman. Mm-hmm. And it could take a year. And a lot of this is about the feel. For me, Jim, if I enter any area, and I haven't met the horses either because I fly in and out, and it could be an expo or otherwise, I'm going to read the facial features.
Right.
I'm going to read the eye. You know, is it soft and kind? Is it concerned? Are they spooky? I'm going to look at the mouth, whether or not it's tight, and the experiences that I feel that they're having in the creases in the face, etc. That would tell me if I'm safe, because as soon as I unclip, and I do an awful lot of liberty work, we're on pretty much equal grounds, all things considered, in that area. And so I want to know if somebody says, well, this horse put 7 people in hospital prior to you, is it wise to unclip and then go, well, let me see if I'm invincible or not? Probably not the wisest move. So I've got to read the energy. I've got to read the face. See, the body language may not be there at that point in time, because you're just being handed a horse. So you've got to make an evaluation through experiences, i.e., I've recognized this in a face before, through learnt behavior patterns that you've recognized annoyances. Right. But ultimately, what you have is that intuition. And what I teach is how to enhance it all the way through to the level of helping animals with behavioral issues. We can get so much through the body language, but we can get more through intuition.
Yeah.
We could, for example, be colt starting and go, all right, I'm going to put this saddle on the colt, and your gut could say, now's not a good time, don't cinch up. That information is coming through intuitively, not necessarily body language, and that's the next level horsemanship. That's where we're all heading.
Yeah, and that's what I tell people, is to don't push it. If you think it's not ready, then don't push it. You know, we don't listen to our instincts enough.
Right.
You know, we try to, well, I think I need to go ahead and do this. Well, I tell my students all the time, I said, don't let someone should you. You know, you should do this, you should do that. I said, it's up to you and your instincts to listen to your heart and your mind, and also listen to your horse and let them tell you when you should.
Exactly. And that's where the relationship building on the ground comes in, because if we can communicate with them through subtle cues and a subtle language, that transfers naturally onto horseback. You build the trust on the ground. You take your time and go a little bit slower. You learn their language. It's like anybody around the world, if you've ever been to another country, they generally appreciate if you've reached out and you're learning their language. The horses are the same. They're having to adapt to our world. I mean, we go against their nature in every aspect one can imagine.
Yeah.
They're having to adapt to us as flight animals with predators, you know, claustrophobic, and then they're in stalls or in paddocks. And I ask my students, do you look at your horse when you approach, and do you read them? Do you look at the horse and realize, is this horse happy in this area, or do they feel confined and in jail? Because that's where it begins.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're completely reliant on who we are and how we behave around them, from as little as giving them food and water, as much as being ridden. So are we riding and looking for pure compliance? And the question is why, because honestly, why? Then we can ride a motorbike. Or are we looking for a relationship where they too have a voice, so that we can stay safe? Because if we just crush that voice all the time. And there's a lot of people that are trail riding or in performance world nowadays. If we just crush it all the time, do we expect them to step up when time of need, when the snow's deep or there's a muddy patch and they're trying to say don't walk forward or the bridge is rickety? If we crush that voice all the time and only seek compliance, we're not going to get that partnership where they can support us, because they've been told for, let's say, 10 years to place the foot in a very specific location, and we've taken their voice out. So why should they? Because they're going to get reprimanded.
Yeah.
So for me, this is about the team, and the team is acknowledging the try, listening to the voice, adapting to what they need as well, making it as comfortable as possible, and then seeking that true partnership, because we're looking both at trust. It's mutual trust. You know, when we talk about going bareback, you have to trust them now, you know. You don't have necessarily the same balance with the stirrups. You're feeling their body between your legs. You're feeling the nuances there. And you're trusting them, because if they spook or run, we're more vulnerable. So we're trusting them. They need to trust us. And so it's also good for us to come out of our comfort zone on time.
Yeah. Well, Anna, we're up on another break. Man, this is just going actually two-faced. So, but when we come back, I want to talk about the communicate with a horse, you know, in the natural way, and what that means. Okay, it's kind of going along with everything we've talked about so far. But folks, y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All about horses.
One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato. Hey, folks, this is Jim Swanner, host of All About Horses. You don't have to play a child's game when choosing a heating and cooling company. Simply call Allen Brown Heating and Cooling at 256-232-4844. They're good, honest people doing reliable work. Whether you're cold and need heat, or whether you're hot and need cool, call Allen Brown Heating and Cooling at 256-232-4844. You'll be glad you did. Are you on Facebook? Do you have a fun page on Facebook and need help to use it to your advantage? The Tennessee Valley Buzz can help. Are you thinking about building a social media campaign to promote your business or product, but don't know where to start? Maybe you want to build a fan base and create curiosity in your target audience and motivate followers, fans, customers to like your page. The Tennessee Valley Buzz has packages to fit your budget to build your buzz. Tennessee Valley Buzz is your real-time local buzz for events, restaurants, and businesses right here in the Tennessee Valley. Keep it local. Support local independent businesses. Keep your dollars working in your local economy. Support local independent business. A strong Main Street supports the whole community. To build your business, give Tennessee Valley Buzz a call at 256-683-5800.
Now back to more All About Horses.
All right, welcome back to All About Horses. We're talking with Anna Twenty this morning, and it's a we're talking about a subject that, you know, a lot of people, I'm going to say, don't really understand, but it's real. Okay. And we were talking in the break that, you know, these animals are live beings, and they have a brain, and the only way they can communicate is through their body language and you know, intuitively. So, this is a very fascinating, subject, and you know, it's something that, you know, like we said in the break, you know, we thought we'd came as far as we could in learning horses and understanding horses, but the horses said, no, you haven't. We still got a long way to go.
And that's the fascinating piece. You know, when we look at, for example, horses bucking or horses rearing, horses bolting, bulking, striking, how many times have we heard people say, I've done all I can, or they say, he's doing this for no reason? If we change that mindset to realize exactly what you just said there, Jim. How are they supposed to express themselves? We want them to constantly whisper. And then we go, okay, he's compliant when he's whispering, i.e. doing what we're saying. And when they, as soon as they act out like a bucking, they go, okay, that I either need to sell him, or he's dangerous, or I'm not understanding him. There's no reason. Well, the expression, he's only got his body language to express. Now, there's dozens of reasons why the horses will buck. And so we would look at the teeth and the bridle and the bit and the chiropractic and the feet and the saddle and the rider error, nutrition, turnout, you name it. And they have to voice it some way. So this comes back to mindset. If our mind is there's no reason, we will be dominant over a horse. The next step would be, he bucked for no reason, So I've got to spur him, whip him, push him forward. But if your mindset is, he bucked and I really haven't figured out why, but I know he's not normally like this. Yeah. He's never done this before, so there must be a reason. Let me get to the bottom of it. And you begin to explore pain, because pain would be your main reason.
Right.
So we take this anywhere we want to go now to realize if they're bolting and you've got a line on them and you're, for example, flagging, desensitizing, instead of looking at it to go, oh, he's just being silly or stupid or he's just running away from me and I've got to hang on tight and keep the flag up. Mm-hmm. That's a dominance-based horsemanship. That's using the nature of the horse against the horse.
Yeah, that's using our nature, which is control.
Exactly. And so we flip it to say, let's take the flight, fight, freeze out of the equation, mm-hmm. not push the horse that far, and say, you know what I see? Here's a really frightened horse. Let's go slower. Let's give him more breaks. Don't compare to the other 20 horses in the arena. Yeah. It's that thing of, also, you and I, you know, are we of the norm? And nowadays, I just question what is normal anyway. But if you put a ton of people in one room and say, you've all got to learn this way, read this book on history and recite it, I will fail. And I may look very incompetent at that point. Mm. But you give me another style of learning history, like through a movie, and I'll retain it.
Right.
So there's so many different learning styles with human beings, from listening to seeing the demos and then the hands-on. Well, why would we not think there's so many different learning styles with the horses and that actually they're really of passive nature?
Yeah.
Fairly naturally.
Yeah.
And we understand that mindset. We shift our agenda. We come in from a place of compassion. We will not use the nature of the horse against it. That comment, what I mean by mm-hmm. that is, for example, we often see work versus rest or uncomfortable versus comfortable for horsemanship.
Mm-hmm.
Horses move out of discomfort into comfort.
Right.
I know that, and a lot of horsemanship's based on that, and I'm no different. We put the leg on to create forward motion, etc. But if we have more of an understanding, so we didn't necessarily just take a stick and hit them on the butt until they figure out what forward motion mm-hmm. is, we step back in the driving zone. We bring up a little life in our body.
Mm-hmm.
We put our eyes on eyes. These are all communication tools that the horse naturally understands.
Right, because that's their herd mentality.
To figure it out rather than continuing to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't do this, but I felt like saying that to my students, well, what if I take a little billy club and keep hitting you until you figure out what on earth I mean?
That's
not
right.
Fun, you know?
I mean, that's the fact.
And we can't teach that way, and I'm certainly not doing that. But if we have that compassion and we bring in a little intention and compassion and understanding and then learn the language,
mm-hmm.
you know what? It's easy. It's
easy. It really is. It just takes a little bit of effort to get our, like you said earlier, to put our ego aside and really try to get in tune with that horse. And you'll have a better horse, you'll have a relationship, you'll have a partnership. And one of the things, my logo is enjoying horses through communication. And that's when you really have got you have it nailed down and you can start using, you learn with each horse even more and more.
Yeah. And the enjoyment is the piece. I look at so many people getting frustrated and really agenda driven or mm-hmm. in the competition world that they forget why they went into horses.
Yeah.
And there is so much fun and joy. And if you've forgotten it and you're not smiling and laughing, you really think the horse is. So that means both parties aren't having fun.
Yeah.
And then something needs to be changed because either they've become a commodity or, you know, you're in pain too. It doesn't matter which kind of pain we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make a shift because you've got to, one, they're expensive.
Yeah.
Two, remember why we went into it.
There's
a joy, there's a partnership, a connection.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. And you know, understanding the language, it'd be like learning what we use is sign language, but you understanding the horse's language.
Exactly. And so some of the new nuances and the cues will be natural to them. So, for example, putting your eyes on to get the attention, or mm-hmm. like I said, draw or drive away, very, very natural to them. And we're bridging the gap between the two worlds, from our world as a human to the horse. We can't necessarily put our ears back at them. We can't really move our ears. But we could stand tall and proud.
Right.
And so tall and proud will give a message of sturdiness, and and it will give the clarity of the direction and some leadership. And there's time, you know, to lead. There's time, I believe, we can lead. There's time for us to lead, and there's time for the team to be connected.
Right.
And so, yeah, they will reflect who you truly are.
Yeah.
And what that means is they're going to push buttons.
Yeah.
You know, some will just connect and literally just step to one side and go, you can lead. But others are going to say, who are you in a time of trouble?
Yeah.
If I do strike, because I've learned that, are you going to bring it up a level, or are you going to figure it out how to teach me not to be that way?
Yeah.
That is no different than any human being. Yeah. If we've learned to bulldoze over somebody, we've learned not to listen to somebody, we've learned to get frustrated or controlling with another human being.
Yeah, well, Anna, we're out of time.
Oh,
I know. It's just, but I'm going to ask you to come back, okay?
Bless.
Because we still got a lot of things to talk about in this field. But right now, quickly, I want you to give out your contact information, your website, phone numbers, you know, how people can get in contact with you.
I'd love to do that. Thank you, Jim. Website, reachouttohorses.com. And we have the Facebook page. We have the website. And I'm currently fundraising for an educational DVD to get out to the BLM equestrian centers to any Mustang person. And so we're fundraising as well for this DVD. And basically, it's $10 to a charity of your choice.
Right.
And you'll find that on my homepage as well. And
I got to get off.
To go.
Yeah,
check.
I got to get off here. Okay, one waiting behind us here. But Anna, thank you for being on the show. And folks, y'all tune in again next week for another All About Horses.
Join us next week and visit jimswanner.com to learn more all about horses.